And we're back with episode 20 of Black and a Half, guys.
Black and a Half. We're two decades old.
Oh, gosh. It feels very, very good.
I mean, it took us like 8 years to get here.
Yeah, but you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah. And we're on a roll now.
We really are.
Because we're like weekly.
Weekly. We've got an office that we do this out of now. I feel professional.
This episode of Black and a Half is recorded live.
Yes.
At Skyline Properties in Seattle.
In front of a live studio audience.
Of which is our guest.
Yes.
Our one. Yeah, we look at a beer the whole time.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're recording here. Thanks to Skyline for letting me use the office. I'm a real estate broker there. I'm supposed to say that legally.
Yeah, if you want a house, make sure you talk to this guy.
To Silas.
Why not?
And if you want, Manny will take care of all your banking services.
That is right. $5 million to $50 million, I got you.
Really?
Yeah, those are mine.
You're the $5 million kind of guy?
Yeah, it's overrated.
Do you have to wear a suit?
No, I just wear sweatpants. No, I'm just kidding. I don't ever wear a tie. So
you don't ever wear a tie?
Not really, unless I'm going to meet a client or something.
I thought they like would insist on that.
Well, if I'm going to meet a client, I should show up in a suit. But
do you work at like are you in a bank?
No, I'm in an office.
Oh,
yeah. So I just sit up in a
Do you get your own office?
No, it's a cubicle. So So I could.
Are you still the only black person there?
Yeah, they fired the other guy.
Really?
Yeah. It was, well,
did they say get out?
No, yeah. See that movie. It's going to be good.
Yeah, we talk about Get Out on this episode. What are we talking about? There's a little Westworld. We talk a little Westworld. Yeah. We don't really spoil anything.
Yeah, no, we talk about X-Men and who we would choose for our
superpower.
That was very interesting. Talk about peeing on stages, which is, I don't know.
Which is an awkward transition to say our guest on this episode. Does not peeing on a stage.
No, not at all.
A big nerd in the community of Seattle. She's a burlesque dancer. She's an entrepreneur of herself.
Yes.
Morgan is our guest. Morgan, one name. She's back in the background there. She's our guest today. We have a great discussion with her. I think you'll really enjoy this episode.
Yeah, I loved it. So,
episode?
Yes.
In the future. The future that's coming here.
Yes.
If you enjoy this episode, please share it with your friends. That's the best way to help Black and a Half grow and to get people into it is share with your friends. And, of course, subscribe to it. Like it. Like the Facebook page.
Yeah. Enjoy this.
I mean, we know you're not going to see the Facebook page link, but, but if you like it, subscribe on whatever your service is.
Yeah, add us.
What do you listen to podcasts on? Do you?
I just listen on Facebook.
Are we the only one?
Yeah.
That you listen to?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how bad I am.
Like,
well, no, I've been listening to Joe Rogan a little bit.
How do you listen to it?
I listen to it on Alexa.
Alexa.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, you could say Alexa, play this podcast, and then she'll.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if we're on that yet, but there's quite a few that. Around there, so
I need to figure out how to get us on that.
Yeah, let's just.
I changed my Alexa, did I tell you?
Did you?
To computer.
Oh,
you
okay.
Change it to what it responds to.
Oh, nice, okay.
So it says computer now.
Okay.
So, computer, play Michael Bublé on Spotify.
Wow.
And because I wanted to be like Star Trek. Here's the problem. Now, when we watch Star Trek,
right?
The fucking thing's going off all the time.
Oh, okay.
And they said I'm talking. Riker says computer, and it wakes up. And it's like, what do you want? I didn't understand.
So could I change it to Jerome or something? Or?
No. There's a list of like five. You can
Okay.
I might change it back because it's good. Yeah. We watch too much Star Trek.
That's okay.
But this is not. This
you need a name
annoying.
That's not gonna. Yeah.
And you trigger. Need the only problem there to be that it's logging exactly how much Star Trek you're watching and reporting that data.
Yeah.
Rather than it responding to Star Trek.
By the way, I know this is just the intro that we're still on.
Yes.
It's a long intro. But I discovered something on my PS4. Because I have a PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been an Xbox person my whole existence.
Just
learned that right from the homepage, like as you go through it, it tells you how much time you spent on each game.
Oh, wow.
So now my wife knows.
Ooh, shit.
Like, before I get to hide it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I want to play like an hour or whatever. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
You're right. She's like, Silas, I've
been looking
at the logs.
They sent me an email to tell me how many hours I spent in 2016 on PlayStation.
Wow.
I hate that.
They're like, congratulations, you spent this much time. Like, what the hell are you doing?
I got like a Steam badge. It was like, congrats, you've played 24 hours. Oh. And I'm like, no, like, that's the word. Why would you tell me that?
These are shame emails.
That
shame
is awesome.
Like,
okay.
I'm not posting that on Facebook.
Man, all right.
Oh, anyway, it's a great episode.
What are we brought to you by today?
Oh, today, we are brought to you by hunger.
Yes.
brought to you by Hunger and Hunger.
Starving people since.
Starving people since the 1826. Get ready for hunger.
Yes.
Trump's in office. You're going to be very, very hungry soon. Okay, so enjoy this episode.
Yes.
Morgan.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Black and a Half.
Yeah. That's right. It's our pleasure to be here,
yes,
as always, for you.
Yes.
For you, our listeners. I'm pretty excited about today.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. Our guest, Morgan.
Hello.
Hello. Do people say one word, Morgan?
Yeah.
Morgan?
Yeah.
I was breaking up sometimes in my head.
It's, you know, at this point, I'll respond to, Morgan
syllables.
Or morgue is what some people shorten it to.
Morgue for sure. Obviously, I mean, I'm guess that wasn't, you don't have to tell us your name, your birth name, but here's a question. Morgan, it was a chosen name then, right?
Yes.
Chosen name by what? Was it chosen for when you change? What made you change it?
So the history of the name there as it is. So, I am Irish-Italian, and there is an ancient Celtic goddess of sex and death called Morrigan, who is essentially a war goddess, has a giant crow, it's all very goth. And for years, being a teenager and then later being into the BDSM scene, Morrigan was always kind of the name that I sort of chose in that community. And so when I started doing burlesque when I turned 21, I was trying to think of cute names and puns, and my boyfriend at the time suggested Morg Ann, which is kind of a phonetic play on Morgan that very few people ever pick up on,
right?
So that it stuck, and that's the name I've been working under for years.
You know, burlesque dancer names are kind of like pho restaurants.
Right.
Like, you can't have a pun.
Right.
Like, there's like, you're not just going to go to a place that says pho.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be pho, get about it.
Yeah, there's always, and rappers do that too. They have like the phonetic play. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but it's always like
Chance?
I don't know. No, yeah.
Take a chance on my CD?
There's always like a double entendre behind their name. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's
Sir Sex-a-Lot?
Yeah. We need like, names.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Black and Deep? I don't
Black
know.
Black and Deep? Okay, there you go. There you go. I'll be Black and Shallow. So
I wanted the burlesque. It's, is it, like, burlesque started with, I don't know if it started then, but comedy and burlesque used to go together
the
time. Like, is that sort of in the tradition of it? Like, was that an origin of it? Comedy always?
Well, burlesque started as a form of satire. It was initially kind of these short scripts that were all very more skit-ish than kind of what we see today. And then, you know, over time, it kind of developed as an art form and, you know, during the sort of vaudeville era, there was a lot of, I want to say, kind of appropriation of belly dance moves. I had one instructor who taught a burlesque class explain it as a white girl standing in the back of the room at a belly dance performance going, yeah, I could do that. and so, there's a lot of it is deeply rooted in satire, and you see that a lot today as well. Even though there's a lot of the more sexy, sultry stuff, there's still a lot of the good, funny, satirical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When was the last burlesque show you went to?
Probably one I helped produce.
Oh, okay.
It was, Well, no. I was just thinking, okay, no, it was, well, okay, there was a burlesque performance within a show
okay.
that I put on called...
Was it a kid show?
No.
You just didn't expect that to come. You're like, oh,
I didn't know.
Sorry. She said party tricks. Yeah. I thought it was...
No, it was, I did this Star Trek. It was like called Comedy Trek. So it was
okay.
like the opening weekend of a Star Trek.
Right.
The movie. And one a performer that we had on here a long time ago.
Yes.
She did a Star Trek
themed
dance.
Right.
And it was fun because she like made out with a picture of Captain Kirk.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
It was really funny. It was a
who was it?
I've
totally put you on the spot.
No. I know she's blonde.
I'm gonna insert it in here.
Yeah.
Later. It was right there. That's what the name was. Blanking because she changed her name.
Yeah.
What's your name in the middle?
The reason I bring it up is so for Valentine's Day, me and the wife, we went to the Can-Can, and like, you know, it's burlesque, but I keep getting it wrong, keep telling everybody we went to a brothel. So, like, really? Your wife took
instead
you to a brothel?
Can-Can, you
yeah.
say brothel?
No, no, I was like, you know, yeah, I was like, instead of burlesque, I'm saying brothel on accident. But
slight difference.
Yeah, slight difference. Just a smidge. But it was so cool. I was just like, you know, you see so much like that goes into it. You don't realize how physically in shape these people have to be, how in sync, how choreographed. It was like one of the coolest things. And then I was like trying not to get aroused by like the pasties and everything. You're just kind of like, it's a little bit of a turn on and your wife's sitting next to you and you're like, oh shit, this is kind of weird. But I don't know. It's like, you know, you're in a public setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but you've never been to one before?
I think I went to one other one, but it was like, it was awesome. It was 10 times better than Showgirls. And, you know what I mean? It was like...
It's not burlesque.
But no, I really enjoyed it. I just... The level of like thought they went into it. And I guess what? They change it up every like...
Yeah, Can-Can does in-house shows. And so those are all kind of like Theatres and Zani where like
right.
once a month or season or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, they have a different
right.
show that they kind of rotate through.
Man, but this dude, he was buff and he was like twirling on this like... string thing. I was like, holy shit, you have to be in shape to do that, man. And I'd probably be out of breath within the first.
Did it remind you of like a Teatro Zanzani
a little
show?
Bit
but naked
sort of, but these guys, there was so much more. Well, I don't know, I mean, I haven't been to Teatro Zanzani's in a while, but I feel like so much heart and like soul went into this thing. Like these people were like dancing.
You gotta go to Teatro Zanzani again.
Yeah.
Those are pretty.
Well, you heard they're I think they're closing Teatro Zanzani.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Seriously? They lost
the lease. Yeah.
The building I think got sold out from under them, which
man.
We were just talking about earlier.
AFK?
Yep. It happened
crazy.
To a
Wait,
lot of places.
Do you know how soon?
I wanna say within like the next 3 to 6 months, probably.
Yeah,
okay,
they've
cause
been.
I got gift cards like 3 years ago. I gotta go use those now.
Like it sucks because to see the Seattle art scene kind of fold with, you know what I mean? That's such a staple. Like, and gosh, I wish we could.
Well,
like,
I mean, at least
done a Kickstarter or something.
They're gonna replace it with something good there, like another Starbucks.
Dude,
or
it'll probably
it
be
might
Amazon.
Be a condo building with a Starbucks at the bottom is what I've
that's
been
what
seeing
we need.
A lot of.
We need a lot of condos.
We
hopefully
need like
10
like, more of those.
Right.
Hopefully, they're like $1 million condos too.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Well, okay, so
that nobody who you know could. Ever afford to live there.
Right.
Amazon people can. That's what the city's about.
So gross.
That's true,
because
they're going to give the Amazon people a discount to move in.
They get like, some of them get like housing stipends too.
Isn't that nuts?
Like,
so gross.
Here's your salary and the housing stipend.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I think the reason why a lot of places aren't successful in Seattle is because of the parking situation. I think that that's probably the number one thing is parking. Like,
it's
I didn't complain that because I made you move your car today.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
It's parking mixed with a not great public transportation. And it's
right.
getting kind of, it's kind of doing the two steps forward, one step back thing where they're like, all right, we're going to build a light rail. It's going to be super convenient.
Right.
You could totally get on for free. No one's going to check it. I definitely don't endorse that, but it's a thing. But then, like, it takes forever to build, and then they're going to cut funding for the buses.
Right.
And the buses are horrible and scary and terrifying.
Yeah. You know, we were just talking about laughs, and it's a place I haven't been in a while, but it was a place I originally started, and I want to see that place succeed, but I do feel like it's the parking that's kind of holding it back.
Okay, here's the thing. I've never parked further than a block and a half from the club.
Right.
But everyone talks about parking being horrible, and I think it's like, do y'all not know that street right there? Like, I think people freak out. They have no idea where to park. Yeah. You go to any of those streets, they're, especially if you're not in Seattle all the time, you're not used to
Do you ever get just overwhelmed thinking about, like, okay, I got to go to this place in Seattle, and I'm going to have to find parking?
A little bit. Yeah. I definitely – well, I think that being the person who has to be at a place first helps a lot. Like, there's a lot of, like, oh, I have to be there an hour before, you know, any of the other people. And then I got to be there 2 hours before anyone in the audience starts showing up. So that always kind of helps. I drive a – I intentionally drive a small car.
See, that's smart. Yeah.
When, a few years ago when I was kind of looking at cars, my dad was like, oh, you need an SUV. You have so much crap in your car. And I'm like, no, I need a tiny car that I can squeeze into the smallest parallel parking spot, because I've gotten really good at wiggling into spots that can just fit me.
Well, okay, do you live in town?
No, I live on the east side, so I have to drive over.
But see, isn't the east side so much easier with parking? I feel like there's...
It is and it isn't. It's starting to become, as more of the people who are, you know, the techie people, especially the people who work at Microsoft, you know, are coming into the east side and looking for places to live there. And it's downtown Bellevue right now has, well, it's always been Yuppieville, but now it's becoming the condos with shopping at the bottom.
So weird. I could never see raising a family in a condo, but
I mean, some people do it, and I'm surprised. Like,
I guess it's that New York lifestyle.
Deliveries for Amazon.
Yeah,
you know, help selling out to the man.
Right.
Like, I would, I'd be bring deliveries and be like families in these small places, and I was like always just shocked. But that's just the lifestyle some people want,
man.
And it's like, well, okay, that's what you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I was like always wanted a yard and stuff. But I guess what's funny is I grew up in a place. I grew up like in a condo.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think other people
and look
should
how
have
you
to.
Turned out.
Exactly. If only I had had a yard to play in.
You wouldn't, be so damaged.
Yes. I wouldn't be doing a podcast Saturday morning.
Man.
Oh. I mean, one of the things I love living about, I live north of Seattle in Shoreline.
Yeah.
And I can park anywhere. And I love that. I go to Lynnwood all the time, like the mall and everything.
Oh, Lynnwood's great for that.
Yeah. I go, everything's easier in my life to go there because I can just park wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I know eventually it'll all build up there.
Yeah.
I figure if I was in the city, I mean, I'd probably just Uber around. I mean, the cost of... It's nuts, the idea that people pay, like, a few hundred dollars a month just to have parking.
It blows my mind. It's like, that's why, like, if I were to open, you know, let's say a burlesque place, if I was to open a...
Suddenly, you've been to one show, and I was like, maybe I'll open a burlesque.
I'll open one. You know, or a comedy club, I would go north. I mean, I think they're starved more for entertainment, and there's no, I mean, if you knew you could, and if you knew you could park anywhere, I mean, think about, you might even have people come from Everett, who knows, man. So
possibly,
I mean,
possibly. Like, I mean, there's no downtown up in the north. North areas just don't have downtown centers.
Starved.
Generally Everett has a downtown, but it's all meth heads. Meth heads in a children's theater, actually.
It's a great combination.
It really is. They just go hand in hand.
It teaches. It's a great way for homeschool kids to learn about life when they have to walk to get to the class. They have to go buy a lot of meth heads.
Yes.
Oh. So what? So I met you. For some reason, I ended up on a show with you that you were putting on.
Probably
at the. At the Rendezvous, the downstairs. I remember that was. I remember it being like. I forget if there were burlesque dancers there.
Probably. Most of my shows are burlesque centric.
And I remember being weird because it was like, you know, because of my act at the time. Anyway, like, I remember going like, okay, I don't know if these people are going to appreciate my jokes about my daughter and kid. And it was fun because it was like, yeah, I think there was something sultry about the night.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm a dad, and but like everyone was responding to it, and so I was like, "Oh, this is cool." I think that was one of the first tests. I felt like, "Oh, this stuff works for everybody because they're not parents, but they get it, and they thought this was funny, especially when I made fun of the kid. That's what they like the most.
Everyone likes making fun of children.
Yeah, especially
they're easy targets.
They really are.
Seattle people in their early 20s.
Yeah,
just like, oh, and artists. like, ah, Baham.
Yeah,
kids.
You have kids.
Then 3 years later, they're like, I want a baby.
I need somebody to love me.
It'll fix all my problems.
It will. It will. Totally does. And I don't know that I knew then that you were such a nerd. I think it wasn't. I mean, you're open about that, right?
Right. Okay. Oh, I'm very open. I'm super, yeah.
Outing her.
Like, the secret's out.
She's like, tell her when I do burlesque, but don't tell him I'm a fucking nerd, all right? That's shameful.
I totally have a Star Trek act, too. It's great.
Do you?
I do. I've got, true story about nerdiness. I have a TNG style corset, and it's red because that's captain colors,
yeah,
and I'm like, I'm going to be the captain. And I had a picture of it on the, you know, a dating site that I did at like OkCupid or something, and I got so many awful comments about, oh, red shirt, that I had to delete it because I was like, stupid fake nerd boys don't understand. Like,
right.
It's not a red shirt
original series. Oh, but you know what? That's a good test.
It is. It was a great test.
To find out, like, you're an asshole loser. Wait, so doing that, did you find... there's always this thing about... I don't know where it started, like, of women aren't real nerds.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Or the fake nerd girls.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure there are
some
that are using Instagram or whatever to try to attract followers doing that. But, like, do you find there to be a lot of fake nerd guys?
That was definitely probably the biggest experience with, like, fake nerd guys. The thing with the whole fake nerd girl, fake nerd person in general, like, it's this stupid gatekeeping of, you know, you can't be a real nerd unless you know the, you
Dungeons
know,
and Dragons and...
Right, like, what was on the fifth page and the illustration in the corner? What was that artist's nephew's birthday? Like, you gotta know, and it's... I think that it's certainly more centered towards women in, you know, file under stupid sexism. I haven't encountered as many people who are fake geek guys, I think, because there isn't as much of the weird expectation of, oh, you're only in it to get girls, because the stereotype is not, you know, girls love comics, which is funny because we do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just... it's sort of this weird thing where we as women are sort of scared off of a lot of nerd culture because it's so heavily male dominated, and not even just that, but it's often very aggressive and sometimes in very subtle ways towards women. And then we get kind of scared off, and then it becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy of, oh, girls don't want to hang out, you know, and do neat geeky stuff, which is...
I totally get it, though. It's like... So it even in the comedy scene, it's like guys who haven't talked to girls ever in their life, and then they get overly aggressive, and it's just like, dude, just they're normal people too. Just talk to them, you know? It's like, I feel like that with the nerd culture too. It's like, you know, you bring a girl around, and everybody's like, oh my god, that's a girl. I've never seen one live, and
Well, it's weird. Like, as I tend to think of nerds as being a little more progressive in general, if they're really into it, because you know, they're used to.
And
you know, they're used to the females in dominant positions in all of this literature and in the gaming and stuff. So I'm sometimes shocked to find out that there were, like, the whole Gamersgate thing and everything, to find out there were, like, guys really upset about women being the center of things. Like, but that's, like, everything, isn't it? Like, I thought that's what we were reading about equality. And you're a nerd. You're supposed to be intelligent and not think like that.
And there are the awesome ones. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, all of nerd culture is like that, because there's definitely, like, great pockets of, like, later today I'm going over to Dreaming Comics, and they are a great place that I have never, ever felt unwelcome in.
Oh, no, it's, no, I do love the community, and I love that, it's a, I've been at a, AFK, so the South one, when I went there, it was just like, oh, I love these people. We're all like-minded. But sometimes I could get why people who weren't quite nerds that went there, like, the way nerds talk to each other, like, sort of the sarcasm, sort of like, I know a little more than you kind of thing that we do, just like out of fun. When you do it to a muggle, you know, like this random person, they're like, what an ass. Like, they think, like, you're uptight, and like, no, they're kidding.
Right.
Oh, you don't get that. Or I'm like,
well, some
I can
people
see why
really
off-putting.
Just are assholes.
Yeah, it's true.
And there's definitely some, you know, elitism. But yeah, I agree. There is a kind of like in joke of like, oh, I do know the name, the birthday of the nephew of the artist in that one page, you know. But then, and it's different when you're kind of like you're saying, when you're talking to other people who are in that geek culture versus when you're talking to, I call them normies.
Normies?
Okay. I like that.
I call anybody that's not doing the thing that I do a muggle.
It's a good way of thinking that.
Like if you're not a, like if I'm talking to comedy people and I refer to non-comics as muggles, if I'm an actor, talking about an actor, non-actors are muggles. Just whatever's normal.
So what's your main focus on, like, are you a gamer? Do you just like graphic novels? Do you like?
I like a lot of graphic novels. I love comic books. Actually, speaking of the whole fake geek thing and comics and burlesque, tying it all together, I did a burlesque act a few years ago based on Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader by Neil Gaiman, which is an amazing graphic novel that if you haven't read, you absolutely should. It's about the death of Batman. Batman kind of attends his own funeral, and all the different villains come up and tell their story of how he died, and each one's different, and it's this whole thing of this never-ending cycle, and it's very beautiful. And I did this burlesque act, and there was like one person in the audience who like got it. This moment where I was like, no one can ever tell me I'm a fake nerd again, because I just did like the most obscure Batman reference to fucking Neil Gaiman. I don't know if you guys are a swearing podcast. To fucking Neil Gaiman. No one ever gets to take that cred away from me.
When you say you have an act, you're constantly producing, doing new dances, right? So is it something like you could pull out if you were going to an event that was a Batman thing and you're like, oh, I got this one dance, I'll bring
it
back?
I could. It would take some preparation. I would need to hunt down a coffin and a baby. But
it's like the weirdest scavenger hunt. Need a coffin and a baby. Oh, it's the saddest story.
And a drop of lamb's blood.
But do you... how often do you do a new act? Is it like each show?
New acts are, it depends, as often as I get paid to.
There you go.
Which, you know, probably once every few months, because, I mean, you were just saying you went to the Can-Can. Yeah. You saw, like, those things, they take time. You got to build costumes. You got to create, you know, dig up props. I got to find, you know, coffin and a baby. You can't just go down and pick that up. They're intensive, and I do have a number of acts that are kind of pieced together where I'm like, all right, they just want something that's more of a strip show cabaret thing. I got this costume pieces and this, you know, show tune. Let's go. But the more intensive ones take time to build up to. Like, I'm working on a show for 420 this year, and I'm really excited because I'm doing an all-new, I'm totally revamping my Poison Ivy routine. I'm getting a new costume, and I've been crafting leaves and paying somebody else to craft leaves, and it's a whole thing, and I started a month ago, and it's probably not going to be done until 5 minutes before I walk onto the stage.
Wait, what was your nerdism?
Graphic novels, comics, movies. I'm a big horror nerd too. Like, I love horror stuff.
Right. So like,
that's the Morgan.
Yeah.
So like hardcore, or are we talking like Buffy the Vampire? Are we talking like even darker, like The Ring?
You're a Buffy
I am a Buffy fan, and I do love The Ring. The place that I go to work out at is actually the apartment complex where they filmed parts of The Ring.
Oh, shit.
And so the first time a friend let me in to use her gym, I was like, well, now I gotta you know, be on the treadmill watching all The Ring movies, which is a great thing to do when you're alone in an apartment complex gym with strange noises behind you. So that's always a lot of fun. I'm really excited for Get Out, which is coming out in like a week.
Got really good reviews so far.
I've been waiting for that for like a year.
Is it a racist horror movie?
It
is. It's a super racist horror movie.
It looks like a racist
horror movie. Jordan Peele directed it.
Yes.
Key and Peele.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's the whole premise, is racism is the scary monster and probably some other crazy demonic shit, but...
Yeah. It looks intense.
It's going to be good.
I know.
Get out.
We should take our white wives to see it.
Ooh. She could not. Will Crystal watch a horror?
She doesn't like any type of scary. She likes the old school, like, Freddy stuff, but she won't watch, like, that dark, demonic type.
That's weird.
That's what I'm saying. Freddy's nasty. I was like, Freddy's awful. Like, So, and Freddy's calling everybody bitch and, like, stabbing them. I'm like, Jesus. I was like, what's wrong with this
bitch?
Yeah, seriously.
Freddy, could you tone down the misogyny a little bit? Yeah. Like, look, fine, you killed children, but
that's fine.
2017, you can't be using this the bitch.
Totally cool to be the bastard son of a thousand madmen.
Right.
That would be the best, like, sketch. You're like, Freddy, gonna have to tone it down with bitch, and he's like, I'm sorry, and then just
yeah, we can't do that. But I just killed like some children, yeah, that's fine.
It's 2017,
we understand.
Yeah, but she'll watch like I didn't even like Jason back in the day. I mean, they were all right, but it's just like I don't like that the bad guy always wins in the horror movies, you know? It's like,
not always. No, they lose at the end.
Not always. It's always like there's something that comes back and they're like, oh, so Chucky's still alive.
Yeah, but paycheck.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they die, that's true. But then like their eyes open at the end.
Yeah. Like, then I'm like, oh, so they didn't kill
it's
that bastard.
It's gonna be a sequel.
Right. So.
You can be dead in your heart.
That's true. That's true.
Well, aren't they making? I think that Robert Englund might actually be coming back for like one last Nightmare.
That's what I. Yeah, yeah.
Before he's dead, and then they just CGI him.
Don't say that. They already CGI'd him in the new Nightmare awful monstrosity.
Did they?
Well, they did. They had what's his name, the guy who was Rorschach. He played
Freddy
in the newer reboot. One. And they CGI'd the burn stuff on him rather than make him spend 6 hours in a makeup chair.
What a whip.
It was, yeah,
that's
it didn't
whippy.
Look that good.
It wasn't great.
No.
Practically.
You know, that's the worst thing is, like, when you start seeing CGI after, that was done early, and then you see it on high def, like, on the newer TVs.
Yeah, it looks like
this
crap.
Is awful. Like, I was watching episode one, and I was like, this just looks cartoony. So,
yeah.
I don't know why I was watching.
Why? Well, I was like, I'm fucking judging you right
now. I kind of wanted to watch all of them in order, and then I couldn't make it through the first one.
But then I feel like on the flip side of that, when you go back and watch movies that have practical effects on, you know, screen, sometimes they do look hokey, but for me, I always feel less than impressed about the effect itself and more just like, wow, somebody took like
12
days to line up for one chance to put, you know, to suck Johnny Depp into a bed or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was looking at, episode 5? And just all the detail that went into making, Dagobah and, you know, with Yoda. And I was like, but it's weird seeing Yoda and seeing him as a puppet as opposed to the CGI. Like,
I hate the CGI Yoda.
Yeah. But how?
I like puppet Yoda.
How else would you do all that acrobatic crap that he was doing? And
he didn't need to do it. That's the thing.
Oh, okay, like, so you didn't like the lightsaber fight?
No, because then he's
back on the cane
up like, ooh.
But maybe he put all his Jedi powers into like bracing that knee or something, and then,
you know, that would actually, it never occurred to me, but that would kind of fit like X-Men Professor X,
right?
He could walk as long as he didn't use his powers.
There you go. See,
like,
wow, interesting.
I hadn't thought of that.
Man.
So I guess that
so if you were Professor X, why wouldn't you just like walk around and then be like, okay, I got to use my powers. Let me just sit down.
Well, I think it was too much.
Oh, okay, okay. He couldn't just turn it on and off. It wasn't like a switch.
That seems exhausting,
too.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, who are we to tell him how to handle his disability? This fictional character with superpowers.
You be paralyzed for a moment, motherfucker.
Oh, you can vacuum right now. I mean, it's like, well, I built a robot to do that. Fuck you.
If I was Professor X and somebody told me to vacuum, I would just like control their mind and make them vacuum. Yeah, totally. Okay, if you had to choose your superpowers from the X-Men cast, who would you have?
Ooh, that's tough.
Well, you got like everything from somebody.
Pretty much. I guess you could do like it. Morph, he was able to change in everybody, but I don't know if he had their powers. He was kind of like Mystique, right? Where it was like he could morph into him, but he didn't necessarily have the same powers. He just looked
what's
like
cool him. About the X-Men is a lot of their powers is also a disability.
Like, that's, yeah.
I was going to say, if I choose, you know, the telekinesis and the mind control, do I have to be in the will? Like, is that the caveat?
I feel that's the coolest thing about
I think
them.
That,
like, the... Or what's his name? Scott.
Oh, yeah, Cyclops.
Oh, that's a cool power, but you really can't look at anybody.
Or even like Jean Grey. I mean, she had all these. She had the telekinesis.
You
got to
be crazy.
And yeah,
kill
you
got to
be. Exactly. You got Phoenix in you. But see, that's the great thing about it. I think with those superheroes, the comparison to DC is like Batman was as great as his villains, right? Like his villains pretty much made him how awesome he was. Superman was just too amped up. I think he's the cool superhero, but you can't really like. I mean, kryptonite is his only weakness, really.
Yeah. That's my biggest complaint with Superman is every single problem that he ever encounters is solved by the fact that he's Superman.
Right, exactly. So it's like you got to give like the more complex. I know that's what I love about X-Men is everybody is flawed by like.
And
it's almost
just
as if it's a giant metaphor for social issues.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, which X-Men character would we all choose?
Well, probably Wolverine. Yeah. Doesn't live forever.
Wait, Wolverine doesn't live forever. Wait, you said he does or doesn't?
He does.
Does he live forever? Because he's old man Logan. Right?
He does, but that's kind of the premise of the new film.
Right.
Because, what's the actor's name? Hugh Jackman got cancer and human
wait.
And aging. And
wait, real Hugh?
Yeah.
The real Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He just
had
not mesothelioma, I'm sorry. He had the skin tanning.
Skin cancer.
I had no
idea.
Yeah, he like took a big step back for a few years just to deal with health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He wasn't just doing theater.
Diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they just died one day.
And I got to get like hats off to him. His like, this guy is like in love with his wife, and his wife isn't like a supermodel, just a normal lady. You know what I mean?
What a awesome dude.
That's his
dude,
superpower.
That's his superpower.
Is that he doesn't need to be banging a supermodel. Well, you can just, a normal person. You are such a great man.
Hey, man, when you see
if
how
I
many,
that much money, I definitely know.
Hey,
when
you look at person. When you look at Brad Pitt and Angelina and Jennifer Aniston and all this other stuff, there's so many people who
we
like
had some issues.
And then, who else? Who's the country singer? Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. They left their significant others to be together.
I wonder, were there significant others like superstars too?
I don't think so.
They
were just normal people. So.
We've like reached the extent of my celebrity news. I get all my celebrity news either standing in line at the grocery store, skimming the covers, or if my mouse accidentally scrolls over their name in the Facebook trending while I'm trying to see what the latest dumpster fire
is. Yeah. Today, Trump brings back slavery. Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
God. We're getting there.
Yeah, no shit.
There is this website that I've been checking called whatthefuckjusthappenedtoday.com.
Okay.
Really? And it's, that's exactly great. What it is. And it's really, it's actually a great resource because it breaks everything down. It's like, here is all the awful shit that just happened.
Oh,
and it's like a single, like a few sentences to describe everything.
Cool.
And it's got links and it's a great resource.
Was that a site before Trump?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's brand new.
You know, especially for the ADD generation, I think that that's great to have, like, just these little blurbs. And, you know, if you want to go into more detail, then click the link.
Yeah, because it's all in one place. It's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Some of that stuff is just, like, I'll go to Huffington Post, which I know is completely liberal. But it's, like, I'll read it, and it's just, like, okay, there's this long column. And I'm, like, I'm not going to read this whole thing. So,
here's my argument about the whole liberal... Like media, when they say liberal media or whatever, about which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, Fox News just had a commentator. People are was like, this is horrible. This is why.
Right.
Because here's the thing. He's an actual news guy. They have another guy who's a news guy, a straight news guy. They do not report. They're not commentators. Most of them are. MSNBC's has the same thing. They have people who are straight news. And they have people who are more commentators. Chris Matthews from Hardball. He's like, yeah, I have an opinion.
Yeah.
But he has a couple guests on. He's like, you're a straight news guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, they were talking about, like, Trump shit on somebody in the news.
And I was like,
in the news conference.
He went down
reporter.
The list.
Yeah.
Right. But he said something. He asked him a question. And that was a straight news guy. He doesn't put in his own opinions on things. So each of these networks do have straight news people that you can listen to who cite sources.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big, and people say MSNBC is just as bad. I'm like, well, no, because a lot of the things that they say, they cite sources.
Right.
When Fox News says anything, they cite polls.
Right.
Or they cite opinion things. They don't actually cite facts.
Right. Like, I love Rachel Maddow. I feel like she gives facts. Oh,
but
gosh,
she's a commentator.
She
clearly
is.
Clearly has
she
an
is.
Opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she's someone I would like to hang out with and have dinner.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I
really like how well put together her stuff is. You know, honestly, someone who kind of rides that line as well, John Oliver just came back with his show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even before, you know, I've been watching that show since it started, and like I watch a lot of documentaries, and I'm a huge like cite your sources, and the mm-hmm. way that he lays everything out where it's so well put together and he's got evidence. And what's the other one? There's another really good one. Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh yeah. So I've seen
every
this on,
time he
yeah, yeah.
says anything, a little text box pops up in the corner that says whatever study he's citing.
That's awesome.
And it's really interesting to actually then go through and like dig and follow that trail of resource.
Yeah. I find it, I'd like the one I watch is Bill Maher, and I feel like that just gets so like, it's tough because I know he'll have like panelists on that are like, you know, right wing, but it's Maher, man. He's just too much sometimes for me, but like I love
too
him
too much. Like
he's too over the top liberal. He's
yeah,
like so
I agree
far.
With him, and I
well,
think he goes too
seriously.
Far.
Yeah,
like,
same here.
Like,
I agree with
I
almost
just,
everything he
except
says.
Except he's also pro gun.
Is he pro gun?
Yeah, he's fine having a gun.
Okay,
and he also he's a bit of an Islamophobe.
A bit, yeah, yeah. He definitely is on that.
I mean, he hates all religion, but he also like is like
yeah,
this one's especially dangerous.
Yeah, you know,
people get on him about.
He's admitted a few times that, you know, like, the Christian terrorist doesn't get as much attention as, you know, but, you know, he, when Obama was saying don't use the term, what, Islamic terrorist, Bill Maher was like, no, we need to call it exactly that. And I'm like,
he's definitely, he's an opinionated commentator.
Yeah.
And he's a comedian.
Exactly.
I mean, first off, he's a comedian before anything, but, which is what I've always loved. Like, political comedy, if I could have done a political comedy.
Yeah.
Political comedy show, that would have been my thing.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah, I love his setup. I love having a panel and being able to just talk all that shit. Did we ever choose our superhero? Who would be?
I said Wolverine.
You said Wolverine.
That's
you...
what, yeah, I threw it all off.
I want to know, like, do I have to take the bad stuff?
Yeah, you
got to
take the bad stuff too.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Well, then that makes it hard because I was like, oh, I'll be Professor X. But if I got to be in the wheelchair.
Hard to do burlesque.
It is. It's hard, but not impossible.
Right, right. No, that's
don't tell
right,
me
yeah.
what I can't
that's
do.
Right. I am not an ableist. I'm not ableing this. You got one?
Oh, God.
You can't pose the question.
Yeah, that's
out.
True. Yeah. That's true. Okay. I was going to say maybe Gambit. I don't know. That's a lame superpower, but it'd be kind of cool to charge stuff every now and then. But he didn't have like any like negative.
Wait, is that what he did?
He'd like charge the car and throw it, right? And that was it.
Charge it? Just like. So, like, if you had a Tesla, you'd never have to stop again?
That's what I'm guessing. He had some sort of, like...
You just pick the one that's convenient for your life.
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm like, you know what?
My cell phone would always be charged, so...
oh, that's a great power. Well, there was always kind of the tiers of that. Like, they were always like, I can charge electronics,
right.
And, like, I can control the weather. And then there was, like, if I touch you, we'll both die.
Right. Oh, man. That would suck to be rogue.
Someone's power's like, I can, I can change the channel on the TV. They're like, oh, wow, what else can you do? Well, that's it.
I have a deck of playing cards.
I'm a universal remote. That's my superpower.
Oh, man.
What did you have to give up for that? I have no penis.
No, I can't. Yeah.
Well,
I can't do anything.
Can't
man.
I am looking forward to Logan. My daughter's been catching up on the X-Men movies.
Okay.
But I've been seeing the commercials and I'm like, this might be
a little too
violent. I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, X-23 looks intense. The little girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And when I saw it said it's coming out March 3rd, which is her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
She's blown away.
Uh-oh, that's Comic-Con.
It's coming out on her birthday.
Yeah.
Like, Dad,
just
what
her.
Are the odds?
Yeah.
She's like, I can't believe it's coming out on my birthday. So I'm like, hey, the brain turn. You know there's a movie came out like every birthday.
And... Well, if your birthday falls on a Friday.
Yeah, you're pretty much
yeah.
having a movie release.
She's, we're going to perform at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
She's coming again.
Oh, cool.
She's
okay.
Next week we'll be practicing.
Nice.
Songs.
So do we have to be cleaner?
No,
okay.
It's like last time.
Okay,
she just learned that Daddy cusses a lot.
It's an important lesson to learn.
Yeah, we're performing it. If anyone doesn't know, Real Nerds of Comedy show at Comic-Con on the Friday night.
Nice.
At Emerald City Comic-Con. We perform it. It's the third year in a row.
Oh, man. It's Congrats. So fun. Big turnout.
Full. Yeah, it always gets full, too. So it's exciting.
It's so weird because it's like you feel like, well, God, nobody's really going to come watch us. There's so much other.
So much to do.
Yeah, but then it just packs
in.
Yeah.
I was worried last year because it was Friday. And I was like, ah, Friday. I get Saturday. People are tired, want to sit down.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we going to do on Friday? That's horrible.
Ah.
No, Friday's not sold out yet. I'm hoping it'll be sold out soon because I bought extra tickets to sell.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
So
this guy is such a hustler. Like, and get this, on the same day, I think March 3rd is when the Nintendo Switch comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And he bought two of those.
I have two pre-ordered to try to sell because they're always short.
Nintendo's always short on stuff. I don't get that. What's the logic behind that?
Huh?
What's the logic behind that? Well, even with the classic Nintendo, everybody wanted one. How much profit could you have had by?
Well, I think they just didn't. I think they didn't know, and so it's better to be. It's better for them to be short than
I guess
have a high demand product. It's weird that people paying like $250 they'll extravagant more.
Yeah,
I mean, well, yeah. Will I be charging more? Yeah. I'm gonna be charging some extra. I need to make Papa's gonna make a little money now.
So right? What this fool wants is a PlayStation VR. We've talked about it on a few other episodes, but this thing is the weirdest. Like, it makes reality, like, afterwards, like, seem surreal. I actually put this thing on, right?
And the VR, it's a...
Right.
Yeah, and so I was playing this game where I had to, like, load a clip into a gun and shoot at the bad guys. But after I took it off, it was, like, 30 minutes later, I'm trying to touch my phone and it didn't feel real. And I'm like, dude, this is the weirdest. So, like, I'm interested to see
how you react. I've heard the Resident Evil game...
is intense.
Like, I've heard the...
Oh, geez.
Just the regular Resident Evil game... that you're playing just normal is a people say it's terrifying. It's a terrifying game.
See, I wonder how you would do as a horror fan in that.
VR is supposed to be, like, absolutely intense.
Wow.
I don't know. That's a good one. I'm one of those people. I do the jumps really easily. Like, I'm one of those people every time I see a movie that's heavy in the jump scares. Like, I jump 10 feet and then I laugh at myself because I'm like, I'm a fucking idiot.
But you enjoy that?
A little bit. Okay. I don't know how I would feel about the tension of being in the VR situation.
I want to do something with that where maybe since you're a horror fan, we put you in the VR if Silas gets this and record you playing Resident Evil for... Just,
I mean, do you like video games?
I like. I'm not very good at video games. Oh, yeah, I suck at them. Like, that's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I love playing them, but I don't want to play them in front of you.
I'm going to have to get it soon, though, because I don't want to get too old and die.
Right, heart attack?
Heart attack.
Oh, my God. Because
apparently they've killed. It's a reboot of the series to a degree. They're not doing zombies anymore.
For a second, I thought you were going to say it's already killed some people. Like,
That's what I thought he was going to say, right? But it's like Biohazard. So it's like people who have been affected by, like, radiation and stuff.
They said now it's not zombie. It's more like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Somebody it looked like.
Is that what Bio?
Was Texas Chainsaw Massacre the one where they were all in the house together and they had Leatherface?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of what it was. It looked like via the previews.
Uh-huh. The moral of Texas Chainsaw Massacre is don't be rude to strangers. Because, they could have avoided both the original film and the remake, like, watching it. I'm like, if you had just not been an asshole teenager to that stranger at the gas station, all of this would have been avoided.
Isn't that wild to think? I mean, there is just...
The first one of every series of those has a good lesson. The horror movies, they always have a lesson.
Horror movies are very moral.
Be good to strangers and this wouldn't happen, or don't, you know... What, if the lifeguards weren't busy having sex, they would have saved Jason.
Okay.
That's like the whole thing.
Okay, well, what about the ring?
Don't abuse your kid.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, okay. Well, let me think of another one. What about...
Poltergeist, don't build buildings on
Indiana.
Don't use real human skeletons in your film.
Yeah, oh, man.
Like, and then your second film, because you will cause a curse and kill off
all your cast. What about, what was the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar that was kind of like The Ring, The Grudge? Do we remember the moral?
I don't even remember The Grudge.
That was like an Asian.
It was probably another don't abuse your kids.
No, it was don't cheat on your wife with an Asian lady.
Was it Asian?
No, just an Asian lady.
It's totally okay.
If it's any other race.
Totally, it's fine. Yeah, so, I mean, the first one, then usually the second and third, they're just like, oh, money.
Yeah.
Well, this is for money.
Right.
Let's kill these people the same way. You ever see Cabin in the Woods?
I feel like maybe.
Oh, it's great.
Was that the one with the book from hell?
No, that's Evil Dead.
Okay, okay. That one was intense. I was like,
which is, you know, don't read any Latin out loud.
Yeah,
ever.
Seriously. Ugh, God.
That's why I didn't take Latin in high school.
Yeah.
I don't want to cause a curse. Would have destroyed the world. Would have been to help Buffy if I was her watcher, but.
There you go. Yeah, wait, so Cabin in the Woods, what was it?
It was the Joss Whedon one. It was like a take on.
Yeah, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
How do I describe it without ruining it?
It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, group of attractive young folks go to a cabin in the woods for a weekend, and then horror hijinks ensue.
Oh,
I can't tell you more without ruining it.
Okay, okay. So
it's like, it's a hard movie to talk about without ruining the twist.
So let me watch it this week, and I'll come back, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it's very, it's kind of self-aware in a way where it's very, it plays off of the horror tropes that you see a lot of, like, and it really
It's almost like a parody slash.
Well, you see it, you're
like it's
oh,
a serious parody, but you know,
but if you didn't know it was Joss Whedon, first of all, you're just going to watch, you'd be watching, you know Joss Whedon.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay. You'd be watching it and be like, this is bullshit. This is stupid. This is like every cliche.
Yeah.
And then it slaps
then it
you in the
good.
Face.
Okay.
You're like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, finally watched Westworld.
Caught up?
It was good. Really good.
Liked it. A lot of nakedness.
Yeah, man. A lot of nakedness. But it's so crazy how like people treat...
What's the thing? It's not porn, it's HBO.
Seriously, well, right?
Okay, here's a weird thing for... did you watch Westworld?
I am all caught up on Westworld, yes.
Okay, so...
Spoiler alert.
Who... Like, is there a reason they have to be naked every time they interview them?
That was kind of weird, huh? Like, I didn't get that.
Is that a power thing? Every time they brought them up to talk to them?
I...
Let's undress them, first of all, so that they're naked, like... I mean, men and women, they did, obviously. But.
I think it was, it was a few things. It was, one, it was dehumanization, mm-hmm. because, you know, you're naked, you're vulnerable, and it's, you're not a person, you're a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so there was kind of that, I think part of it is that it's HBO, and if they can't have boobies or just swing and dong, they're gonna.
Right.
Straight
Game of Thrones style.
Yeah, I still didn't kind of understand why they didn't have just like a sheet or something, or like just like the plain white something. But I think it was kind of I think it was those things. I think it was viewer / shock value mixed with reinforcing that idea of these aren't people, they're vulnerable, you know, they're these things, they're naked.
Right.
Do you think people would really like treat?
Yes.
I mean, these people were gross. Like, I mean, like, oh, I'm just going to shoot it because they're... Do you think people would take that excuse to, like,
Think of it like Grand Theft Auto. Think about what people do to...
That's true.
But to be honest with you...
consequences.
Like, I can't even shoot somebody in Grand Theft Auto, like, just walking down the street. I'm like, this dude's just minding his own business. He's not bothering me. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll punch him.
Yeah, okay. Like,
I'll
Silas...
Boom!
Okay, here's the thing. Silas is intense in Grand Theft Auto. He came over to my house. We were playing this like 3 years ago.
I've never played it before.
And he squared up and socked this lady in the face. I was like, oh my God, it's Gretchen been okay to you?
I didn't
know. Where you can have the double-ended dildo as a weapon.
Oh, is that in Grand Theft?
I don't. It might not. It might be one of the. It
I'm
might
sure
be like Saints Row or one of the other
Saints
ones.
Row probably. Yeah,
like that's the only one that I've ever played. Because I saw someone, and I was like, I need to run around and smack people with this giant purple double-sided dildo.
Awesome.
I didn't know. Like I was like, I've heard you can do all these things in this, and so I'm like, can you really? Is there any consequences? Like what's going on? Yeah, they get a little aggression out of it.
Yeah. Oh man, that is hilarious.
Like, look, if I run over the.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, look at this game. If I run over the hooker, I can
get my money back from the. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Important life lessons.
Yeah, that is my friend. So
sorry for saying hooker. Yeah. I was
Lady of the Night. Thank you.
Last night, I was hosting for a comic, Michelle Wolf,
right.
Hilarious
name drop,
the Daily Show. Oh, no, here's the story.
I'm just kidding.
So, female comic, and there was a couple local comics who came to see the show, female locals, who were very
inspired.
Feminist.
Oh,
very
okay.
Feminist,
okay.
Very pro woman. We all pro woman.
Yeah.
We're all everyone here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
But it was funny because Michelle's just a comic, and she's talking about things, and she had some bits that I think were offending the women there, the locals, because she was like, you know, women, you know, like, because she was definitely, she was very gendering people. And very, doing all the a lot of classic things that they don't like to hear from men.
Mm-hmm.
But she was doing it.
Yeah.
But she's a celebrity, like growing celebrity woman. I think there were a couple times I saw them ask for the check early on.
Really?
When I was like, what? Like, no one ever comes. A big complaint I know has been like, they'll have Laughs has more female comics as headliners than any club in Washington.
Yeah.
They do. Used to be a people of color, but there's too many Friday movies now, so Harlan gets all of them. But nobody ever, a lot of local comics who are females never come and watch their shows. And it's like, well, if we're going to support women in comedy, we should do it when they're, also when they're big.
Yeah.
Like the big traveling ones come see them. So it was nice to see it. But then I was like, oh, so now they're offended by what she's saying. And
it's it's tough. I mean,
you're a very outspoken woman.
Yes,
about women's rights and stuff.
Yes,
do you get offended easily? I mean, you're an artist too.
It's
risk.
It's hard. I think that Seattle is definitely much more, like you were saying. You know, a lot of the local people here, we have kind of standards that we abide by.
Right.
I was sort of spoiled. Comedy Womb doesn't exist anymore, but it was amazing. I used to love going to Comedy Womb because I knew, you know, no one's going to make a joke that is going to be so, you know, that's going to offend me, basically. And it's hard because I think that there's a really fine line between making comment, joking about something and making a joke of like, wow, this is really messed up that we as a society do this. And kind of shining a light on it. And it's, I have been to comedy shows where I've been like, wow, this dude's the most sexist, awful, you know, when the punchline of the joke is somebody is lesser or, you know, it goes back to that don't punch down rule, you know, and I've gotten in arguments on the internet with people who are like, oh, well, why can't I make rape jokes and all that stuff? I'm like, well, you can, but there's going to be consequences for the words that come out of your mouth. And if you feel like you can't do comedy at all without making those kinds of jokes, like if you can't be a comedian and like only ever, you know, punch down, then you're probably a shitty comedian. Like, you know,
Well, and last night, like I felt like her jokes were very smart and for a reason, like in some of it, like there was a point to it. And I did feel like they were missing the point because they got so offended by her word or what she did.
And it's hard because sometimes there is that fine line of, is this a joke that's where the punchline is, oh, this instance of sexism is funny because, you know, screw women? Or is it a joke that's funny because, oh, this happens every day and we all just kind of ignore it, but now I'm pointing it out. And isn't it weird that we do whatever thing?
Right.
So it's... it is hard sometimes, and I think there are a lot of jokes that a lot of people do get offended by that, you know, fall into that latter category where they're more of a social commentary and that just kind of, it gets obstructed by the audience's personal feelings about whatever the subject at hand is.
Yeah.
But it's, so I always try to have an open mind, and there have been times where I just kind of grit my teeth through a comedy show. A lot of those comedy shows that I have felt like that have been where it's all men, and it's that kind of boys club of, oh, it's just a bunch of dudes, so we're just going to kind of, it becomes more about shock humor than actually crafting a good joke.
Right, being articulate. You know, like, here's a question for you. Seeing that all last night, do you think you would feel the same way if it was a black comedian saying certain things about black people, or would you have?
No, I think I get the line of the comedy,
right?
Where it's common, where they're doing some commentary on
right.
it. It's like when Chris Rock is making fun of black people, and some of the audience doesn't know that they're making fun of, he's making fun of them,
right.
It's level, like, no, he's talking about you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't get offended that easily anymore. I think it's
You do go in online though. You do go in on Facebook and you shut people's shit down, man. I love that. And it's so funny, like, I'll always make sure to like your posts.
But you're just, like, I'm not getting in
on this shit, but I will.
I've had people tell me, they're like, oh, I really liked what you said. I'm like, you didn't like it. You're like, oh, no, I couldn't do that.
Dude, like at least throw them a like because at least you.
Yeah. Because when you're in the moment and you're in that passionate Facebook argument, you need every little.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
It's vindication.
You have to show the rest of the world that all these people support your, you know, stance on this as opposed to the other guy who's getting all the, like, right wingers that are like, oh yeah, blah blah blah.
Now,
women shouldn't be able to.
Now, you think I fight other people?
Yeah.
Morgan, she fights Facebook. By itself, she attacks Facebook. Her profile pic for the longest time was just like a naked
MySpace
picture
dude?
Of her.
No, just kidding.
It was like a naked picture.
Oh,
of her.
Okay.
No, it was with just with my hands covering
every
myself
spot, because you were getting flagged for photos, right?
I did. Well, really? It started as there was a thing going around because Facebook is notorious for taking down pictures. And there was a picture going around that was like an infographic, and it had these, you know, hot girls, and they were barely covering themselves. And it was like, this is the Facebook standards. And so long as your nipples and genitalia are covered, you're okay. But the infographic that was going around that was going viral had spelling errors, and that bothered me. And so I talked to a photographer, and I was like, hey, can we kind of remake this? And right around that time, somebody started, I think somebody had like a personal thing against me, because all of a sudden a bunch of my photos were getting flagged. And so I was like, you know what, as a big fuck you, I'm gonna do this picture. And it was just a simple infographic of like Facebook approved, and it was me naked covering myself with my hands and like little arrows of like nipples aren't visible, you're okay, no genitalia.
Oh, I love it. You know,
and so that was the picture of her every day. And she left it up forever.
For like 2 years.
Yeah, awesome. I thought it was going to be like for a week to make her point.
But yeah, yeah.
And then just, no. It's always there. I'm like,
man.
So I would like, every time I'd be like on her page to think about something, my wife would come in and I'm like, scroll. Like, what are you looking at? I'm just talking to my friend. I'm sorry.
It's so wild to me how other people want to control other people. You know what I mean? It's like, if you don't like the picture, shit, you don't have to go to their page. You know,
right,
it's like,
follow.
Don't go to the website if you don't. You know, I mean, there are certain things that it's like, okay, you should flag any type of abuse type website.
Yeah.
You know, I could see stuff like that. But I feel like people lose the art in the human body also. You know, it's like, why are you so concerned with what's going on over here that doesn't affect you?
Well, plus, a burlesque dancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, one of my favorite ways to introduce myself to a new group of people is to walk in and be like, all right, who hasn't seen me naked yet? Because, like, once you get past that, like, that's kind of, it seems like this huge thing. And once you, because people do get hung up on it. People get super hung up on it. And once you take that away, people kind of don't know what to do with themselves, because you're like, yeah, it's a body. We all have one.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's your point? Like,
I think it all falls down to people who are very insecure with their own, you know, being. And
well, and every once in a while I'll see some posts. There was one that went viral probably about a year ago that was like, dear women on Instagram, please cover up because you're making my husband think impure thoughts. And I'm like, I feel like you need to be having a conversation with
your
husband and like a very real conversation with yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
like, how dare, my husband can't be having impure thoughts.
Right.
Is he thinking about another woman? No.
It's not his fault or our relationship. It is every woman on Instagram posting a picture in her bikini.
It's, you know, it's that same thought process in the, like, the Middle East, where it's like, oh, they need to cover up because these men can't control themselves. I'm like, what the
fuck? And it's funny.
The Middle East, or do you mean the middle of the USA?
Yeah, the same.
You mean Utah?
It's funny because women still get sexually assaulted when they cover up and when they don't. It's almost as if women's clothing isn't the actual issue.
Exactly. Ah. And until we can address that and have real conversations about that, shit's not going to change.
And so, I have, you know, kind of on the, you know, to bring it back to, like, I have no problem with women who do make that personal choice of, like, oh, I'm going to totally cover up, or, like, you know, wherever you fall on the modesty to walking around in the bare street legal, which in Seattle is practically nothing. So long as there's not alcohol around, you can just walk down the street naked.
All right.
but, you know, wherever people fall on that, like, and that's just it. It's a personal choice, and it doesn't really impact anyone around you.
Yeah. No, I agree. Oh, man. And that's where I feel like I fall into the most arguments online, is with the other side saying, oh, well, a woman shouldn't have a right to choose, or a woman shouldn't be able to do this, or, you know, like, black people need to stop complaining about this. I'm like, are you fucking, like, you know what I mean? Why is it always it seems like the oppressor that's always trying to tell the oppressed how to feel. I don't know. It's,
right.
It's so crazy.
Kind of, you mean like being an oppressor?
Yeah.
I've always been oppressed too. Morgan, you've, like, you'll have these meetings, right, about how do we promote Morgan?
Sometimes.
Like, you'll be like, okay, I've got a bunch of projects I want to work on. Who wants to help me?
Yeah.
Like, and you get a gather, like,
that's awesome.
A coalition.
Sometimes. It's mostly, like, it's me and my primary partner and then, like, my stage. It kind of depends on the project. It's usually mostly me and, like, one other person, depending on the project.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do a lot of, like, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to map out how I want to promote this. I'm going to kind of figure out the idea here. It's a lot of fighting with the Facebook algorithms.
Well, okay.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, if you post something on a page as opposed to your profile, it's mm-hmm. only going to get so many reaches, and Facebook wants you to pay them money, and
yeah.
pictures mm-hmm. get more than just, you know, other types of posts, and then text posts get bumped up. Like,
right.
And then people are online at certain times of the day and scheduling things, and it's a whole thing.
Have you found that you have to be – I always find I get the most interest in statuses during traditional work hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's like, cause nobody wants to be working.
Because everybody can pull out their phone and just check Facebook real fast.
Yeah.
And
some of them are like, I know you get paid a lot. You get paid way more than you should be being on Facebook.
Yeah.
The people who are never on Facebook, they're like the fast food worker who can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, seriously.
Because they're working three jobs trying to keep their head above water.
Right. And we're just like, yeah, no, I make a good salad, but I'm going to put it all at risk. I really got to commentate on Chris Rock's new routine on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, I got to do that. It's been great having you on.
Any upcoming shows that you want to promote? Or
We talked a lot about a burlesque, but I DJ at the Mercury pretty much every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday except for third Wednesdays. So if you ever have a free Wednesday and you want to go check out the goth club, that's totally a thing. I've got Cabaret of Evil is a monthly burlesque show where I donate to a different evil cause every month.
Slytherin, by the way.
Hardcore Slytherin. Last week, actually, we raised $460 for Sex Workers Outreach Project. Next month, March 14th, we are going to try to beat that for International Rescue Committee. I'm really excited about that.
Those
one.
Don't sound evil to me.
No, yeah, it
sounds like you're part of Gryffindor.
Sounds like you're fighting evil.
Yeah.
It's kind of that, you know, the way that Stephen Colbert is a Republican sort of deal, where if this is the current political climate, where this is what the good old American boys are into, then I'm just the worst. I'm the absolute worst. I'm like, fuck you. I'm going to give $900 to the ACLU.
All right.
I'm really excited about the March one because that's Einstein's birthday. And there's
there
the whole thing.
Okay. Nice.
March
14th is Albert Einstein's birthday, and all of the condensed version. So Albert Einstein, who was himself a Jewish immigrant from Germany in 1933, when he came to America, he came over to America on a visit and then was like, I can't go home. Like, I can never go home again. Everything is awful. And he begged anybody with any sort of political power, like, please, you have to let Jewish immigrants into the United States. Yeah. Awful things are happening. And the United States was kind of like, meh.
Wow.
So the IRC was formed by a group of Einstein's peers to help refugees, and they continue to help refugees all over the world. And so when I realized that I had that my monthly show fell on Einstein's birthday and that Trump is doing this whole... Because the whole theme of my my Cabaret of Evil this year is Strip Against Trump.
There you go. Nice.
March 14th, Strip Against Trump, Substation Seattle, International Rescue Committee.
Cool.
At the end of the show, is everyone just urinating? On Russian, nesting dolls. Just do nesting dolls. That's how you'll catch it. You can catch it all.
There you go. And
I was
going
to say,
doll.
You got to keep it clean. It's got to be in one.
There you go.
Put a tarp down first.
Right. And then we'll ship them off to the
warehouse. Actually, no. We wouldn't be able to do that on stage because you have to have your genitalia covered if there's alcohol present.
Really? Oh, that's right.
Washington State is very strict. You
cannot. But not in Oregon.
Yeah, not in Oregon. We could take it to Portland and to the Russian nesting dolls.
Wait. Oh.
Act there.
Is that why?
So, yeah, you wouldn't be able to urinate on stage.
Wait, is that why? So
it's the only reason.
Yeah.
So strip clubs, they can't?
Yeah, strip clubs in Washington don't have alcohol.
Yeah, you have to, or they have
that's right.
They have $10 Sprites.
That's right, right. Forget. And then, well, you have to keep on the bottoms, right? Or most of them, or no?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
It's, so long as there's not alcohol. Like, that's the thing. Oh, okay. It's got to be, you have to check all the IDs to make sure it's 18 and over, mm-hmm. and there can't be alcohol in the room.
All right, well.
Awesome. He's like, oh, good. I got the rules.
I got the rules. Right. I'll never pee.
I'm
going to
open up a strip club. All right. So you got that all going on. What's your Twitter? Or do you have a Twitter?
The Morgan.
Okay. Same on
it's
like
on
Instagram.
Everything. Yep. Awesome. Just the Morgan. Morg, like where you send the bodies.
Yes. Right. Okay. So we'll make sure we put
we'll put it on your page on our site. You'll have all the links to you.
Awesome.
And anything else you want. On there, we'll put there.
Cool.
Because that's what we do. We help people out. And
that's what we do.
Do you know your Twitter handle yet?
It's Manny Martin JR.
You checked?
Yeah, at Manny Martin JR. I did. I was like, what is my Twitter handle, everybody? And they were like, you idiot, it's at Manny Martin JR.
And I'm at Silas L. Thanks so much for listening this week. This is awesome. These are awesome.
Yeah.
Coming back again.
We're doing it. And again and again and again.
All right, black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Live long and prosper.